Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up, bro?
Bring your
everybody, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing, fighting monsters, and
sometimes we talk about Power Rangers, too.
Well, sometimes we do that, but also sometimes the fat bully at your school dresses up like a pimp and hires two ninjas to beat you up.
Where did he even get them?
I don't know. We're going to find out this episode, though. Well, no.
No, we don't. That's the
we
thing.
We absolutely won't. They will not explain it, because it's Power Rangers. I'm Zach. Joining me this week, we've got Luke.
So there's like a wet spot on my floor, and at first we assumed the dog took a piss, you know, as dogs do. But then, like, I am in day 5 of cleaning it up, and it's still wet. So it's now probably, I just don't know what's happening.
It's probably part of Rita's plot to, like, make you slip and slightly inconvenience you.
I mean, it's on the carpet.
That's weird.
Yeah.
That's scary.
It's
yeah.
either dripping from the ceiling or leaking from the floor. Either
or
way,
the
you
dog
probably
just
look,
keeps
get
pissing
it checked
there over
out.
And over again.
Well, that's true. Which animals will they'll go, oh, this is okay to pee on now because they smell pee there. And he'll just pee in exactly the same spot over and over again.
But
I hope it's that. Anyway, we've also got Mike back.
I don't have anything nearly as interesting as Luke's peeing dog story, so that's it. That's all I got.
That makes
when you put it that way.
That makes the assumption that it was an interesting story, though.
Yeah.
No, I'm just assuming that anything I would have to share would be, like, negative interesting.
Okay, fair enough. Joel's here.
I think we should really just spend the rest of the episode digging into Luke's wet spot on the floor issue.
No, let's not.
I think that's what the listeners really want
to
hear.
My principal concern is that there's, like, a pipe going to the bathroom or something that's, like, sprung a leak.
I think you'd smell that.
Well, not the sewage pipe, like the pipe going to the water.
Oh, yeah, the inlet.
Yeah.
Judging by the number of downloads of the Luke tries to reset his router episode, maybe that is all people want, is just like... Today, Luke makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And
how many downloads did it get?
Like 50 more than the normal episodes do.
Okay.
50. I mean, not like 10,000. It's
I mean,
not
thinking
like
I was
more,
famous.
Like, it's not
well,
more like,
well,
holy
we
shit.
Haven't fully turned your life into the Truman Show yet. Just give us some time.
And also, we've got our old buddy Greg back.
Hey, everybody. And really, we should get Mike Holmes in on this whole wet carpet thing.
Greg, you're like an actual adult. Help me.
Help me, I don't know how to conduct myself.
You've raised a human being. Raise me now.
My wife would argue as to whether I've actually raised a human being yet.
Yeah, Greg, this is the surprise episode where we invite you on to
ask you give amazing advice.
Luke's new dad.
Yeah.
No, not quite. But so this week, we have a pretty great episode. It's, I mean, they're all bizarre, but like extra, which I know I've even said that a bunch at this point, but still, believe me.
Let's say uniquely bizarre.
Yeah, sure. But before we get to it, I don't have a Morphax nominal. I do have a correction, for last episode, in which every single person on the episode stated as fact that it was about a Halloween party, when in fact the word Halloween is never spoken. There are no Halloween decorations of any kind.
You can't offend the religious right.
and it's literally just everyone dresses up in Halloween costumes for no discernible reason.
No, it's like I work at a place that has a lot of Indian kids that like go there. So when we threw a party, it was just the costume party on October 30th.
I mean, that's fine. It's just the level of certainty with which we referred to it as right. The Halloween episode.
Right.
When that is nowhere to be found.
Now, in our defense, the Netflix description also made the same assumption we did. Well, so there was a bit of positive reinforcement going
but
on.
But aren't you guys supposed to be better than that?
Yeah, like...
Wait,
also,
since when?
Also, the Netflix dialogue constantly refers to him as Zordan. So,
well, maybe it is. Who are you to judge?
Okay, fair
it
enough.
It is in writing.
Yeah, that's true. It's on the internet, so it must be factual. But I love that we all completely missed it. And also, the fact that we all just assumed it was Bulk's room that they get dressed in with their, fancy, costumes when there is also nothing that states that other than, well, I guess we just assume that Bulk is the top. So.
I think we actually spent a little bit of time in the episode at least discussing that one. I haven't listened to it myself, but I was there and I seem to remember we did question which one it was.
It didn't release yet, did it?
Yeah, you haven't listened to it because I'm lazy and haven't put it out yet.
Yeah, you're like, over
hey, I was trying to preserve the illusion
no,
of like, timelessness
Zach
here.
Zach still failed. He's totally ruined our weekly update schedule.
I'm ruining the movie magic.
Meanwhile, I'm putting up an average of one episode a day on my podcast.
Yeah, but you're a crazy man. Okay, real quick, before we get started on the episode, let's part the kimono. And,
why are you bringing that into this podcast?
Because
you
listen to other podcasts.
What? Okay, I wasn't here last week, and I still haven't heard the episode. What?
It's a Halloween party, except it's not Halloween. They all get dressed up.
No, I mean, I'm responding to part the kimono.
Oh, that's just a reference to another thing, which I like to do because it makes Luke mad.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Make your own thing, damn it!
Have you never heard the phrase, part the kimono?
No, that is 100%.
It means
new to
like
me.
Look behind the curtain, or
only it's way creepier.
It's more rapey than that.
Yeah, it's just creepier. So anyway, moving on. Yeah, this is our first episode recording back from kind of holiday break. I'm sorry. I apologize if you're listening. Thank you for sticking with us. I had to go do holiday things like see my family and then drink so much that it turns out, whoa, I'm old now.
I don't know if you
had
to do that.
No, I had to. It was in my contract, my life contract. It says right here, are you about to turn 30? Go drink too much. Realize you're old now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, Mike, you're all set up to take this over when he kills himself, right?
pretty much, I think.
Okay.
But until then, until I die or kill myself by accident, it won't be on
purpose. Oh, I meant on purpose because you realize you're getting old.
Oh, no. It won't be on purpose.
See, I have depression, so I can make horribly macabre jokes like that, and it's not offensive.
No. It won't be on purpose. It'll be me trying to do something that I used to be able to do when I was younger, like eat 80 pizza rolls at once.
Slit your wrists, I know.
Yeah, I used to, that before I had a healing factor, like Wolverine style, and now it's just, I've aged out.
Everyone thinks that when they're young.
Uh-huh.
You know, that they're young and invincible whippersnappers that they are.
I
reject the implication that I'm going to outlive anyone else in this show. That's not happening.
I don't know. I think you and Greg will probably outlive the rest of us.
I don't know.
I'm tying the noose right now. You're definitely going to outlive me.
Jesus Christ.
Here's the thing. You have the right to make those jokes about other people, but you can't make them about yourself. Exactly. We worry about you.
All right. So Before this gets, like, genuinely depressing, let's...
I'm laughing. I don't know about you.
Okay. But we're going to move on to the episode. We don't need a fancy break this time. I'm trying a new thing. Where
Wait,
we
what
don't...
about the more fact nominal?
I don't have one. I looked. The only
you...
thing I...
Oh, my God.
I know. I looked. The only thing I could find was what was some purportedly, like, unused concept art for the movie, but A...
You
it
understand,
looked...
it doesn't have to be more fact newsnimal. That was a weird offshoot. Tell me about the costume designer for the original show. Tell me about the key grip. What about the lighting guy?
I couldn't find any of those things because they're all in Japanese for
you...
the most part.
No, not the English parts.
Well, that's true. You know what? You're right. I will try to find out about the costume
designer. I'm just saying, like, 10 episodes ago, you swore that you would never drop the more fact nominal.
But then
here we are.
But then it turned out like it took kind of a while to find something we hadn't already talked about.
Look, this podcast is fun until it involves a modicum of work, at which point no longer does Zach want anything to do with it.
Yeah, but we pointed that out at the time, and you said, no, I'll find something to talk about.
I did a hot 5 minutes of research for this episode, so, like, it's going to come into play later, just Jesus. Not yet. So, anyway, this week,
run through the end credits and Google people at random.
Okay. I will put a blood pact in addition to our already existent blood pact that I will try to find out something about a random crew member of Power Rangers.
Now it's more like it.
Okay.
Maybe next year around the holiday time, we'll do a big thank you list of staff members that never really did
Okay, so the episode.
Well, so actually one thing I wanted to mention, because a couple of people on Twitter have asked me, and I only mention it on, like, episode 3. You can follow along with us on Netflix. Every season of Power Rangers is on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Instant watch, and I just haven't been mentioning that. So, yeah, that's where we're watching it. I also have the DVDs, but, yeah, if you want to watch these with us, you can do that on Netflix. It's
we just aren't going to ding when the scene changes.
Right. No, I won't. Yeah. And it's like, I don't know, what's Netflix now? $12 a month?
No, see, Greg, instead of a ding, we use the technique of, and then we cut to the moon.
Oh,
yes.
Yep,
yes. Go. Still going to make those shirts. Going to happen. Okay. So, yeah, this is episode 26, Gung Ho. And it's pretty great. It's one of my favorites so far, which might be like spoiling our wrap up, but this episode opens with Jason and Tommy sparring, and for once they're actually using, like, some protective gear, usually, and are wearing, like, gym clothes. Usually, especially when we see Zach and Jason sparring, they're just in normal clothes and they don't have gloves
or
anything.
I like to think that this was required because it was Tommy. Like, yes, they've respected him back, but they still can't rule out the possibility he might slowly be trying to kill them. So there's some, like, Geneva Convention, like, terms.
I thought you were saying that it was, like, Zach just can't punch that hard, so it's fine, but when it's Tommy, he has to wear gloves.
See, I thought you were talking on a meta level, like the producers were saying, we can't ruin that moneymaker, don't punch him in the face.
Look, it was a multifaceted, deeply layered observation, and I'm just glad you guys were able to pick through all of that.
Good job, Joel. So they're sparring, and they start fighting verbally about, like, no, you should have done this, blah blah blah. And something to note about this episode is, I don't think we've been exaggerating Tommy's, like, weird antisocial tendencies. I genuinely think that he has been portrayed with them up to this point. In this episode, for some reason, he becomes super competitive when he hasn't been yet.
Well, I think it's that he's super competitive whenever it's in his wheelhouse, right?
Yeah, when it comes to martial arts, that makes sense. And I do want to bring up a question here.
Okay.
Sure. Does anybody know what martial art where a red belt could in any way be equivalent to a black belt?
No.
Isn't karate, doesn't it go, like, maybe red, brown, black? They're, kind of close. I can't remember.
In this show, I feel like the Power Ranger colors trumps whatever belt they're supposed to be wearing is the thing.
Mm-hmm. I suppose so.
And here's the thing. I think in this episode, Tommy only gets competitive in response to Jason being competitive. Because pretty much any time, like, they start arguing about something, it almost always starts with Jason going, yeah, but I did the thing, or you should have did the thing. And then Tommy goes, yeah, but you did the thing first, and I should have done the thing. So, like, he's not being, like, it's not like he's talking smack out of nowhere. It's just Jason is kind of being an asshole. And Tommy's trying to defend himself. And so they start fighting when they're sparring, and Zach is, you know, he's watching them, he's trying to help them train, and he's, you know, trying to be the peacemaker here. And apparently Billy, like, came up with a computerized training program for the two of them?
Yes.
Yeah. He mentions that it'll get them in shape, and I'm like, that's not how computer programs work.
Yeah.
Also, that's not what they need. How much more in shape can two people get?
Yeah. I also just really want to know what's on Zach's clipboard. Like, what notes is he taking?
I think it's just a picture of him in, like, crayon. Zach, man, he keeps, over top.
Yeah, he keeps, like, sketching cool things for him to do.
Yeah.
It's a picture of him and Angela with a heart around it.
Exactly, or, like, a little plan of how he's going to ask her out. Like, maybe he's going to give her chocolates or flowers.
Yeah. Maybe it's just his notes about how jealous of Tommy he is because Jason has replaced him.
Yeah, could be. But
I also like how... Now, this is good. This is good symbolism on the part of the costume department here, because Zach is wearing a shirt, and it's mostly black, but it's got a red stripe on one side and a green stripe on the other side, and then representing Jason and Tommy's need to learn to work together, and Zach's role as mediator is the yellow stripe down the middle.
That's also favorite also
fits also fits into my theory about Trini kind of being the one to bridge the gap between everyone.
Oh yeah, that's true. There you go. We could man, we're really getting like upsettingly good at this whole bullshit. Also, Greg, I just looked it up, and it looks like typically karate usually either goes red, black, or red, brown, black. So they're like at least kind of close.
But Tommy's like objectively better by the only metric used to gauge their skills.
Right. Yes. Factual.
I'm completely unclear on what they're practicing for.
So okay, we're gonna
get to that. But before we move on, during this sparring scene, now I know we're in the Gym and Juice Bar. By the way, we didn't mention that because we didn't feel the need to. But we're in the Gym and Juice Bar.
Are you going
to
talk about the guy with the really weird exercise behind Billy?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I miss this.
So the Gym and Juice Bar is always full of extras that are exercising, or at least most of the time. But right behind Billy, there's a guy in like a blue like tie dye shirt that's on this weird crunch machine that I have never seen, and he's making the best faces.
It looks like he's holding up defibrillator pads to his chest. I have no idea what that machine is. I've never seen one.
No,
like
you said
that
it's
before.
Some kind of crunch machine.
Yeah, I think it's to let you do crunches, but like against some weight and without having to lie on the ground.
Yeah.
I like that you can see as this scene progresses that the people gradually stop exercising and start just standing around watching them.
Which always happens.
Yeah.
So at this point, the other people who want to fucking work out at the gym and juice bar must just be super frustrated with the Rangers. Like, god damn it.
Honestly, as a gym, this does not seem like a very large space. Like, they don't have that many pieces of equipment.
No, and it's always, like, around the edge so that the Rangers can... Because Ernie is a nepotist, basically. Like...
No, come on. It's only nepotism if it's his family. This is cronyism.
Okay, fair enough. So,
well, and I think that's really for the safety of all of Angel Grove, because he's got to give Jason some sort of outlet for his homicidal tendencies.
Break down
really.
All the wooden buildings. He'll just smash them to pieces.
I will point something out when the ninjas show up, actually, about that.
Zach and Billy kind of be like, you guys gotta, you know, follow our, like, training regimen thing. And Jason's like, oh no, we got this Team Ninja thing on lock.
So they're gonna work on, according to Luke, the only truly canon Metroid game.
Some Ninja Gaiden games.
Yeah. The production values of that writing are terrible.
I don't think you can have production values of writing.
Sure you can.
Oh my god. Alright, so moving on. The best part
esoteric references.
Yes, lots of them. So the best part about this is they don't explain what this is for kind of a while. But basically it's a karate competition. They are practicing for a karate competition, which is
You have to fight in pairs, basically.
Yeah.
It's where you
Team Ninja does kind of sound like a like late 90s like reality show type competition thing, sort of an American Gladiators type show.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
I would watch American Gladiators.
Yes.
I'm glad somebody else pointed at this, though, too.
Yeah, so they fight for a while, and Tommy is still critiquing Jason. He's like, your punches aren't good enough. And then they, like, flip each other over and both land in prone position, almost kissing, but not quite. And Zach is like, this is a team sport, guys. They get back
up. It's a very real criticism. Like, they keep like, beating each other up and they're like, I got you. Yeah, well, I got you. And there's a lot of back and forth in the fighting.
Yeah,
and Zach and Billy are both just like, guys, like, it's a team thing. You have to win together. That's how it works.
They're not being constructively they're not giving constructive criticism. They're just like, no, I got you. That guy's
They're talking like very small children do when they're fighting each other, you know?
Right.
Like, I got you.
When you're playing cops and robbers, but you
that
don't have
Nerf
guns.
That moment where they flip each other, like, Jason has him in a headlock, and it looks like he just doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then Tommy just, like, suplexes him.
Yeah. So, speaking of American Gladiators, again.
Yeah.
Yeah, now they're fighting with those, I don't know if they have names, but the, like, padded staffs that they have, and
they're like bow staffs, except they're giant Q-tips, kind of.
Yeah, giant Q-tips.
Yeah.
I made a note saying, do the American Gladiators know their equipment has been stolen?
I went to a 4th of July party last year, I guess, where a dude had rented a giant inflatable, like the bottom
of
a bounce house, basically. Yeah, and it had pedestals and those things, and we fought with them, and it was cool, and that's the end of the story. I don't really have anything else. It's harder than it looks. but they're still being super competitive. Zach and Billy give up and, like, toss their stopwatches over their shoulders.
Yeah, well, they're still Zach wrapped just around throws his pencil.
Yeah, he's just like, this is horseshit. I can't do anything
like,
with this.
I have a feeling like if they could have afforded it in the budget, he probably would have broken his clipboard over his knee and thrown it.
Just throwing a folding chair.
I like the idea that they can't afford two clipboards. This is the only one that they have.
Listen, this show needed to make money.
So, then they have, the swords
Shinai's.
They use in kendo. Thank you, Shinai.
Yeah.
which are wooden practice swords or bamboo, I think.
So this is the part that baffles me. They're doing like a choreographed thing, and now they're both Billy and Zach like, yeah, you're doing it. Is the whole goal of this to just do a cool choreographed fake fight?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like synchronized swimming, but with punches.
Because
it's something we'll get to when we get to the
completely failing until now.
when we get to the competition, what it is, like, just spoiler alert, because peek behind the curtain, or I guess behind the kimono or whatever the heck.
No, don't.
Luke has once again failed to actually watch the episode.
Why you gotta throw me under the bus?
Yeah, but in fairness, Joel didn't watch it either.
So no, Joel didn't watch it either. I think this is the first time Joel watched the wrong episode, though. I think this is his first fuck-up. But anyway, so when we get to the competition, what it's going to be...
I laid on the floor and played Pokemon all day.
All right, well, whatever. When we get to the competition, what it's going to be is each of them are going to fight another guy alone.
It's tag team karate.
Yeah, basically. They're going to tag team for a while, but then in the final round, it's actually going to be 2-on-2. And they'll get extra points if they move in sync.
Yes.
So they have to win the fight, but they also get extra points if they move together.
Uh-huh.
What? This is asinine.
It's real dumb.
No, it's not asinine. It's rad. It would just not work. Like, there's no way to score that. That doesn't...
Well, I mean, sure there is. You can score a gymnastics routine.
I guess so. But not like
gymnasts are usually not fighting other gymnasts, though.
Most of the time. I would watch competitive gymnastics.
Oh, man. Well, they have that. They just don't try to murder each other.
Oh, sorry, gymnastics sparring.
Figure skating.
That seems like it would get way too dangerous way too fast. There'd be so many broken necks.
Well, I mean, that's
especially
part of the
thrill if you consider like most gymnasts are like little girls,
right? They're like 13.
Yeah, Bloodsport. I mean, what? okay, so
yeah, battle royale.
So Trini comes in and says, "Like, how's it going?"
Yeah. Well, first, like they're doing their synchronized thing with the Sheen Eyes, and then Jason's like, "Hey, Tommy, check this out!" And then just fucking attacks him, and then they both like spar for a little while,
yes!
And they both end up on the ground for
again.
No reason.
Yep.
Tommy, Jason just literally goes, "Hey, motherfucker, let's go."
So Trini tells them that they have to learn how to gung ho.
Yeah.
And they say, gung ho? You know, gung ho. It's Chinese for working together.
And you know what? I will give this show some credit. This is the first time it's actually taught me something. I didn't know that's what gung ho meant.
I didn't either.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was real words.
I actually looked it up. I'm like, really? Is that the meaning?
Oh, good. I'm glad you fact-checked
it. And I was like,
yeah.
Holy
yeah.
shit, well, it is the meaning.
It's weird,
I always just thought it meant
colloquial,
like, earnest and like putting 100% in.
Yeah
the colloquial use of it's changed a bit from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a whole history behind it.
Yeah, like, I mean, listen, the gung-ho guns and Trigun, like, kill each other all the time. And they're, like,
yeah.
super jealous and, like, mean to each other. Trigun's a good show. Let's talk about that for a while.
No, I don't want to. Okay, so...
So Vash the Stampede, a red leather-clad young man who's seen his own fair share of tragedy, wanders the wastelands of the planet Gunsmoke.
Is it really called Gunsmoke? That's the name of the planet?
Yeah.
Vash the Stampede sounds like a Magic the Gathering card.
You know, I never thought about it, but anime and Magic the Gathering have kind of a lot in common.
No, you don't say.
Okay.
Mostly in terms of, like, how much it costs to participate in the hobby.
Yes, that's true. So, she says, you know, you've got to learn to work together to win. We cut to the moon. There you go. And we get a little continuity because, Rita.
Okay, this fucking is so confusing though. Like, this show all of a sudden is making reference to something that happened in a previous episode and I can't handle it.
Yeah. So in the last episode, they mined. Here's the problem. I thought they were like introducing the super putties both episodes. They aren't. What they're doing in the last episode is mining the super putty, which is the super putty that they need to make
right.
super putties, which isn't confusing at all.
So if they made putties with silly putty, would they get silly putties?
Yeah, silly putties.
Well, that's a little redundant. I assume that's what they're already made of then.
Yeah,
putties
true.
Made out of silly putty?
Well, silly putty be like dressed in a Hawaiian shirt trying to do stand-up or something?
I don't know. They're pretty silly already. Like
there's only one way to be sure. We have to take a putty and like put its face up against a newspaper and see what happens.
Oh no, Marmaduke's up to his old tricks again. okay. So we cut back down and they're sparring some more. Cause man, just didn't have enough plot this episode, I guess, which is crazy because a lot happens. They're still bickering. Tommy is like, okay, here's the part that kind of alludes to what you said, Luke, which is confusing.
Yeah.
Tommy says you're supposed to kick to the other side, and Jason said you punched out of sequence. What are they doing? Are they sparring, or
They clearly aren't, but they clearly are. They're not supposed to be, but they are.
I wonder if they're using, like, specific moves that they'd planned and rehearsed ahead of time. So,
yeah,
like
a form.
Yeah, so like Tommy knows that the specific attack Jason was doing was supposed to have a certain sequence of punches.
Well, and I know forms are a thing in martial arts practice, but I mean, actually, I don't know, Greg, you do some martial arts. If you were practicing for a competition, would you spar or would you do like form practice? Because it seems weird.
You could do both. Because,
okay.
I mean,
it depends on the kind of competition, I would
imagine.
Yeah,
it depends on the competition. Like, if you're going to be testing or competing for forms themselves, then, yeah, you can do that. But at the same time, you also get into a rhythm of sort of, like, muscle memory with it as well. So, it would make sense if they're, like, practicing, like, a routine or something along those lines, just to sort of get their brain trained, like, oh, this guy's moving this way, this is what I should do to try and counter it, that sort of thing.
Okay, fair enough.
Huh. That shows what I know. I would think you wouldn't want that because then it'd be too easy to fake you out.
Well,
but what I love is
I'm not any kind of fighter man.
What I love about this bit is that Billy is actually, like, timing how long it takes them from starting to spar to starting to argue with each other.
Yes!
Like, he stops the stopwatch, he's like, well, you guys managed to get along for 7.8 seconds, way to go.
It's a new record.
yeah, that's pretty funny. And it's just weird, because, again, like I mentioned earlier, they haven't really been, like, rivals up to this point.
Right. I mean, even in the first episode where they were fighting each other, they were very much like, man, good rush, good sweet kicks, bro.
Sweet, good kick punch, guy. So, at this point, the episode gets really good because Bulk and Skull walk in. And let's start with Skull. Because not as insane. He's wearing some kind of like martial arts themed headband, and a referee's jersey that has writing in red on the front of it that I can't quite read.
It says trainer.
Trainer. Yeah. Okay. He's carrying a bunch of like practice equipment, and I mean, I guess that's kind of it.
He's got a gold whistle.
He's got a kendo sword sheathed on each side.
Because he's a badass.
Bulk. He's got his blue circular sunglasses as well. Those are nice.
Yeah.
Bulk is wearing
okay, Bulk is wearing okay. He's got black pants, got black slacks, a blue dress shirt. Over the blue dress shirt, he's got a like a light blue, like a Robin's Egg blue like sports coat.
Yeah, like
he's wearing his belt over the sport coat. He's got a leopard print tie that is not tied. He's got a giant dollar sign necklace. And he's got a leopard print hat that has a sticker on it that says manager.
Yeah, he's like a wrestling manager.
Yeah. Also, his ponytail is not done up, so his hair is just kind of mullety right now.
It looks like a pimp suit, right? Like, that's not just me.
No, he's like a professional wrestling manager.
I guess.
Which, really, when you think about it, isn't that far off from a pimp.
Right, like, he's going to stand off onto the side, and then when his guy starts to lose, he's going to bash the other guy with a chair.
Gotcha. I guess, it felt more like, I don't know, maybe like a fight promoter? Like,
I don't think like I'd ever find Don King dressed like that.
Yeah, Don King. Well, I guess not exactly, but man, I don't know. It's such a fucking weird look. And the first time I saw it, I could not deal.
Yeah.
So,
the thing is, he looks less like a pimp and more like, let's say, I don't know, someone who's 14 decides, hey, you know, it'd be funny if I dress like a pimp for Halloween. What's my dad got in his closet?
Right, yeah, that's true. A failed pimp.
Which is weird, because we know for a fact that Bulk has a decent array of costumes.
Yeah, we saw him last episode. That's true. So they're taunting them, and he says, like, looks like your boys need a lot of work to Zach and Billy. Zach says they're ready. They give like a synchronized clap with their
like literally like they're about to pump you up.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And then Bulk is like, well, they're going to need all the luck they can get because my ninjas are the best. And then he snaps and two fucking ninjas come out.
Honest-to-God ninjas.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Dudes,
what the hell?
Old ninja regalia.
Dudes in head-to-toe black ninja outfits.
Yes.
Where did Bulk meet these people?
Well, so, okay, I have a theory.
They never speak. We don't get names for them. They're just ninjas.
Yeah. Well, if they spoke, they wouldn't be proper ninjas.
Well, no. So, I mean, clearly Bulk has finagled himself as the manager of these two. He aspires to being like a karate man like Jason, and he can do a spin kick. He probably convinced them somehow that he can train them to win the Team Ninja competition. And of course,
Can you pronounce the word finagle for me again?
Finagle.
Okay.
What's wrong with finagle?
Nothing. It's perfectly cromulent.
I hear they have a rock.
So.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so like I think that the only thing he's actually taught these guys is the things that he knows ninjas stereotypically do, which is stand around, wear black, look imposing, and never talk.
I mean, I will say that Bulk is nothing if not incredibly self-confident.
Right.
So, like, if it works on somebody else, I guess he would be, like, a good salesman. Like, No, I can totally teach you to do this.
He's almost dressed like a bad used car salesman.
I was just about to say, Bulk strikes me as a man who is, at his heart, a used car salesman.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Deep down in his very
There's
soul.
Something in his nature. Like, if the colors of the Power Rangers are their very essence, used car salesman is Bulk's essence.
Fair enough.
What color is that?
Kind Apparently of a dingy brown.
Okay, good.
Okay. But here's the thing. I have to imagine that these ninjas were already ninjas by the time Bulk showed up, because he's about to demonstrate what they can do, and... Like, they can do some pretty impressive stuff, so, and I cannot imagine that either Bulk or Skull taught them to do these things.
So they give a demonstration, and basically it's pretty much what Jason and Tommy were doing, except they're not trying to murder each other, so it looks a little more impressive. They fight with hands and feet, they fight with the Shinies, and then
Bulk... He also says, look at them, my ninjas. Yes. That's what losers look like.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the ninjas holds up a wooden board, and the other goes flying through the air and smashes it in half, and then Jason gets really jealous because it's been a while since he's killed any wood.
Yes, and, I was just about to say, he must have wished he was hitting that board so bad.
Yeah. And then one thing I love is that Bulk just goes, Shinies! And then Skull just throws the swords
at
the ninjas.
Wait. I've got it. Bulk hired these guys. They're ringers.
Yeah, that's the only explanation. Like, he hired them so that he could beat Tommy and Jason up by proxy. This is a proxy war.
Yeah.
Basically.
What did he call 1-800-RENT-A-NINJA?
Yeah, 1-800-MY-NINJAS.
Well, you gotta remember, this is the early 90s when ninjas roamed the streets.
Oh,
true.
Not to mention, this is everywhere. Angel Grove, the last city on Earth. Of course, there's ninjas.
And also in the early 90s, there were just, like, katanas laying in the street along with I don't know, whole turkeys and...
Well, you couldn't walk to say, like, an apple, maybe. Yeah.
Thank God those Final Fight days. People showed up and took care of that problem.
Yeah.
You couldn't enter a job fair without seeing, like, pamphlets for, like, the Foot Clan or...
Yeah, for real.
These guys take off their hoods. They're just the dudes from Double Dragon.
Yo, you want to beat up some, like, three small children? Three ninja style? Yes.
How's the henchman market these days?
Yeah. So then Bulk says, and now the power kick. And they run into a simultaneous flying kick at a punching bag.
Yeah.
And it goes flying. Bulk confidently strides out in front of the bag, says, I told you they were super ninjas. Mm-hmm. And then it hits him and he goes onto the floor and they literally play cartoon birdie sound effect as he is dizzied.
You know, I have to wonder if Bulk at some point is going to start suffering the effects of all these blows to the head. Like, has anybody done a concussion test on him?
I think it's lucky for Bulk that it's mostly mess-related issues that he has to deal with. But yes, you would think at some point the NFL would just send refs out to do the concussion protocol on him, even though he's...
Well, the NFL would have to actually give a shit about concussions instead of just pretending for that to happen.
Fair enough. And
fucking
so
hot
that,
takes on the NFL here.
So with that political commentary, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. So, we cut to the moon, and we see Rita making her super putties.
Yeah, and Frankenstein is there.
Yeah, he's just hanging out.
Yeah. He died in the last episode, but he's there. He's just chilling.
Yeah, I guess because same arc in the previous, in the like Japanese show.
I'm sure they cut this up and aired footage out of order.
Yeah. Cause, you know, they got the super putty in the last episode, but yeah, they just cut it up for whatever reason. And that might explain some of why we were like, man, there's like no Sentai footage of this monster. Cause it was like maybe half an episode. But anyway. So they make the super putties, which looks exactly like the normal putty sequence, except there's a giant ball of clay in the corner.
Yeah. Well, they're using orange clay instead of gray. So.
Right.
I mean, the end result is still gray putties, so I mean, whatever, yeah, but...
I guess the implication is that when they get finished, they will come out gray for some reason, like in the cooking process, maybe.
Maybe it's like a glaze that the machine applies.
Oh, yeah. Nice double glaze.
Yeah.
So, Rita's like, good job, Finster. You know, we're going to kick some ass.
I feel like having the putties help with this is really just the textbook example of, like, having to train your replacement.
Yeah, because the normal putties are helping them build the super putties.
Yeah.
Those putties are going to go home, and they're going to be out of a blue collar job.
Also, let's talk about this Frankenstein in the background here.
Yeah, so that's the Frankenstein from the last episode. I know you weren't here, but he got murdered, and he's just there.
He's just there.
This one. Yeah. So,
and I still cannot. I've talked about it before, but it drives me crazy that the putty like sculptures clearly do not fit the mold they come out of.
No, absolutely not. It's pretty ridiculous.
Like, they had to make a mold to make those statues. Why don't they have this prop?
The mold they use looks like shitty gingerbread men. And then they come out as, like, fairly well-formed putty, little putty guys.
The mold doesn't even have, like, the little boulders for hands.
I want to
see the mooks made from the actual mold that they use. Just giant gingerbread putties.
Oh, yeah. Christmas episode. Missed opportunity.
That's like one of the that must be one of the golems, like the one that we saw in the episode with the snake made of other snakes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There are big golem guys that they never, like, talk about, really.
Yeah.
So they make them, and then we cut down to Trini and Kimberly at the park.
They're in Angel Grove's Infinite Park.
And specifically in a playground for small children.
Yep. They're talking about the fact that Jason and Tommy really need to learn how to gung-ho, just kind of expositioning everything that's already happened to themselves for no reason.
They're like, wow, Bulk's ninjas are really cool, and don't ask where the fuck they came from or how Bulk...
Well, you see, Mike, since it's just the two girls on the screen, they have to be talking about a guy so that we're,
true. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to relate. But, so, they fight the putties putties show up. Hey. And they're kind of getting their butts kicked.
I love the American version of the super putties because they've basically got just giant boxing glove hands.
Yeah. Yes. They look basically the same except they have like clay props on them. Some of the, in the Japanese version, some of them have like sword hands. Yeah. Or other like weapons attached to them.
Or like boulders or like.
I love that when the putties first show up, they say, time to gung-ho.
Yeah, time to gung-ho. Did you remember the name of this episode? In case you forgot, let us help.
There's a phrase that really takes me back to the 90s. Remember when everyone always said, time to gung-ho?
Yeah, you couldn't go 10 feet without hearing anybody say it.
Is it freaking anyone else out that, like, the lesson of this episode is actually consistently reinforced throughout?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
I don't like this. They're actually like...
Like, I mean, we have the lesson being continually, like, repeated and reinforced. We have continuity from the previous episode. This is really starting to freak me out, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's juvenile and, like, obvious, but they're actually... make sense. Like, they're following the most basic rules of storytelling. I don't like it.
Yeah. It's, well, like, you know, we've had episodes where they did that before and then they just forgot. So don't worry. They'll get back to the normal horse shit next week, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I can promise you that.
Go ahead, Greg.
They've got this giant ball of super putty.
Uh-huh.
And I assume that the putties are made with the same, like, the regular putties are made with the same putty that the monsters are made with?
I guess so.
So yeah, why not make a monster out of the super putty?
That's a good point. Or also, it's a giant ball of putty, and in case anyone, the listener has forgotten since we haven't mentioned it in a while, they make the monsters slash putties at very small scale, and then they become normal-sized. So why didn't they make 10,000 super putties?
Well, you saw they were cranking them out at, like, a really fast rate.
That's true.
But also, why not just put the entire ball of clay through the Monstermatic? We've seen that it just sort of figures shit out.
Yeah, they could just make whatever. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
But as we'll see later in the episode, it turns out the super putty has a critical weakness.
Yes, that's true.
Because, of course, it does.
So Trini and Kimberly fight for a little while. They kind of get their butts kicked, but not really harder than normal. Like,
I mean, it's been a while since the putties have given them a hard time.
That's true. But
the tire attack is super effective.
Yeah, one of them throws a tire swing at Trini,
which I don't feel like being a super putty really makes that a more effective attack.
No, not really.
I just realized something. Trini's in yellow. Yellow is a Pikachu's color, and she just got nailed with rubber.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Okay. Wow, okay.
I know it's a stretch.
That's like a Luke stretch, but it
but I'll take it.
No, I'm as Luke. No.
But
speaking as a Luke.
So this tire hit on Trini is super effective because, like, she's going to stay down for the rest of the fight. She's not getting up from the ground until they go back to the command center.
So before we get to that, I would like to point out that Kimberly says, "Wow, it's like they're a new breed of putty." Okay, plot exposition lady. Are you Zordon now? Like, what's going on?
I'm okay with that because this is a show for tiny children. You have to reinforce that stuff.
I guess that's true. It's just, normally they at least concentrate the bullshit into one character.
Right.
They cut to the Gym and Juice bar and Jason is punching a punching bag. Tommy says, "Give it to me harder." And Jason's like, "I'm just tired." And
we've all been there.
Yeah. Anyway,
sorry, Tommy, I have a headache.
Yeah. So.
then we hear the beep 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 beep, and like Jason throws off one of his boxing gloves, and everyone, instead of looking at their own watch, just gathers it like in a huddle around Jason's wrist.
I also like that. I've noticed now that like the last four or five episodes, Jason is holding something when his communicator goes off, and then he just throws it on the fucking ground. Which, like, I respect on some level. Like, get your priorities right. But it's pretty funny that he keeps
every other facet of Jason's life is just biding time until it's time to Ranger.
Yeah.
The thing I love is that while Zordon is saying what he's about to say, Tommy, Zach, Jason, and Billy are all standing around Jason's wrist with their mouths hanging open, just all slack-jawed.
Yeah.
It's kind of hilarious to look at with the video paused.
So they teleport in, and one of the things that you mentioned, Mike, is that, like, Billy goes over to help Trini, like, she's injured, even though she just got hit with a fucking tire swing.
Yeah. Well, what's great is they show up, and first thing, Billy's like, "I've got her," and then runs over to Trini and, like, kind of shoves Kimberly out of the way. He's like, "No, Trini is mine.
This is my lady. I am here to help her." Yeah. So at this point, there's a putty fight. It's pretty fun. It reminds me, it's not as good as the one in the carnival, but it reminds me of that because it's a lengthy putty fight with American footage where they are in a place where they use this stuff. There's a shot of a buddy just running up a playground slide, which is
chasing Zach. Zach's running up the slide.
Yeah, which
and
is
then,
really
and
funny.
And then, like, he kicks the putty, and the putty goes back down the slide, and it's great. Yes. Kimberly's, like, using, like, this monkey bar thing
I
to,
talk
like...
talk about this one. First of all, that's not monkey bars. That's not what monkey bars are. What is this piece of playground equipment?
They're parallel bars. They're literally gymnastic parallel bars.
Well,
I don't know why.
Way too low to the ground to be parallel bars.
It's
she has to, like, pull her legs up.
It's for
maneuvers.
A small child.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what I love is that, like, Kimberly's basically doing gymnastics moves
fighting
this putty.
She's doing gymkata.
Yes, the skill of gymnastics with the kill of karate, gymkata. Yeah.
Well, then the second thing I was going to point out is the bar clearly, like, it's bent after she does this. Like, it cannot support her weight.
Yeah, because she's an adult. Like, that's why. Yeah. She's
also,
a legal
Zach,
adult.
I'm so pissed you took the gymkata joke. I was gearing up as I was getting my notes together for this.
I know bad movies too, Mr. Yeah. Food Fight. Suck all it. Right. okay. So they get their butts kicked. They teleport back to
except
the...
Zach actually was confident in that fight.
Yeah, Zach wins his, but it's a team effort, so they all get called back.
Well, I think it's more that, like, they're kicking these putties down, but they keep getting back up.
Yeah, right. They don't just disappear like the putties normally do after they fight them for a while.
It's yeah, like I like the way one of the putties, ball. Like, I don't know what it's called, but, like, he flips over Jason, but uses him as, like, a way to boost himself.
Almost like a springboard, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he, like, uses Jason as a springboard to, like, do a flip.
Well, see, that's very much the kind of stunt that, like, Jason has to be complicit in for it to work.
Right, it's
like... he clearly, like, braces himself and lets the putty do it.
It's like when wrestling finishers require the person who's getting hit to do all the work. It's it's silly.
And that's
silly.
The worst kind of finisher. Fact. It really is.
So they teleport, and I have to point out real quick, I don't know that we've seen all six of them teleport together since Tommy became good. And it's kind of cool to see all six of the color streaks.
Really? That's what we're congratulating this show on now?
Yeah, I like it.
It's not congratulations, it's just
I'm
saying,
just,
like, oh,
it
that's
just makes
nice.
Me happy, Luke. Yeah. Like, I don't see why you gotta bust my nuts over this.
Luke doesn't like it when you're happy.
Yeah, well...
I'm just saying, like, this is a low bar to clear. Hey, they drew a green squiggle on the screen in addition to the other squiggle.
If there's anything we've learned from the existence of Let's Plays, it's that Luke subsists on the suffering of others.
Yeah, that's true. So they teleport.
Don't reference other podcasts.
They teleport to the command center, and Zach's like, what's up with these clay heads? Which, that was maybe racist, but I wasn't meant to be. It's just his voice. He talks
funny. I thought you were saying Zach was being racist.
Yeah, no. Maybe.
Using a slur.
Well, I am Zach, so anyway.
There are so many things in the show that aren't slurs, but sound like they are, you know?
Yeah.
Like clay heads and moon people and all kinds of stuff.
So they look over at the viewing globe, and Zordon explains the super putties. And then, Greg, you want to take what happens next since you pointed it out to me?
God. It does not last long, but the only way I can put it is Alpha is somehow jerking off a console.
Yeah. There's a joystick on the console that doesn't do anything, and for, 2 seconds.
Not Alpha's even that, just, it's like half a second.
Alpha's just working the shaft. But like,
He's like twisting and pulling.
Yeah, but vigorously.
Like, Alpha's clearly calibrating the viewing globe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Is that what the kids are calling it now? Calibrating the viewing globe?
Hey, girl, I'm gonna calibrate your viewing globe. Well, I mean, anyway, so.
Zach, please expand on that thought further.
Mutual masturbation. Okay, so
so the super putties are attacking a factory,
I'm glad
apparently.
I did that.
And Zordon decides it's time to split up, gang, and he sends Jason and Tommy off to get, quote, the new weapons you will need for this threat. And I guess sends the rest of them on a suicide mission to just get the shit kicked out of them for as long as possible.
Right.
And he gives Jason and Tommy a torn map.
but also in halves, so yep. Each of them has one, which I'm going to make fun of because it's stupid, but also it's the thing we always say they need to do, which is tie the lesson at the beginning to the actual Power Ranger part. So, like, good job, but why the fuck would... I mean, Zordon's an idiot, so I guess...
Well, here's the fucked up thing. So Zordon has a plan for all of this. This whole thing is orchestrated to teach Tommy and Jason to work together. Yeah. Like that is Zordon's whole deal for this episode. But the thing is, meanwhile, he's sending the other four Rangers to fight the Super Putties, basically to stall for time. So the four of them are going to get the shit kicked out of them for the next, like, 10 minutes or so Tommy and Jason can learn to get along.
Right, it's kind of like when, like, Job or something, where it's like, well, good lesson, God, but come on, there was probably an easier way to teach this.
Well, not, Job was the worst example, because Job, there was no lesson there. Job just had his life fucked with for no reason.
That's true.
He got it all back at the end.
If I can point a crazy theory out that I had, like, the first time I was here.
We do not deal in crazy theories on Teenagers with Attitude. Thank you, good sir.
No, only completely sane theories. Yes. But go ahead, Greg.
But I seem to recall that I said, or alluded to, that Zordon, I think, sort of shifts through time. He always...
Yeah, and I really like that one.
I think that's another case of that right here. Where he knew that this was going to happen, and he decided, yep, this is where I'm going to make Jason and Tommy get along.
Because when Mike said this was his whole plan, like, he explicitly states later, I wanted them to learn to work together.
Yeah.
So you're saying he knew that this particular thing was going to happen and was like, okay, well, here's where we can force that lesson in. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, also something is going to happen where Jason and Tommy are going to get attacked by someone that Zordon apparently specifically sicked on them.
Yeah, that's true. So now we get a...
I know what's gonna happen, even though I haven't seen this episode.
Yeah, so Zach and, Billy, Trini, and Kimberly morph.
I like that Zach gets to say it's morphin' time and kind of gets to lead the group during this part.
Because he's the sub commander under Tommy. He's third in command.
Yeah.
So they go in and fight. It's a Sentai footage fight scene.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's a fun fight to watch, but the Rangers are consistently getting the crap kicked out of them.
The coolest part that happens is that Kimberly cuts one of them in half, or into pieces.
Coolest?
It's neat, okay, terrifying.
Is that the word choice you're going with?
A putty gets hit, and he falls to pieces, and then we cut to claymation, and, like, it forms back up into two putties. So we've got one of those, like, oh god, if you kill one, two more of them show up kind of
yes,
situations.
Yes, in my notes I have, hail putty Hydra.
Yeah. I mean...
My favorite bit of this fight is that at one point, two putties just kind of, like, taunt Zach. They do the whole, like, Neo, like, stick your hand out and wave, like, come at me, bro.
Yeah, they totally do. And then they also form into two more putties.
Yeah, apparently, Putty also... making them indestructible also makes them more competent fighters now.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, I just like that it uses claymation, because they are made of clay. Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of cool.
Apparently that actually happened fairly often in the Sentai with putties, but we almost never see that happen in Power
Rangers.
Yeah,
not very much. So Luke, I'll change it to horrifying, because if you were them, then yeah, that's the worst. That's no good.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we cut
to Jason. So we cut to the, I guess, the park, like, somewhere in the wilderness, and Jason finds a piece of the aggro crag.
This is the second or third episode where they've gone on, like, a quest for something.
Yeah.
And it's not clear where they are, because, like, I would say it's just a park, but that would make no fucking sense. Like, why
Everywhere is the park, though.
Also, Jason's no
based
so
on what's about
nonchalant.
To happen, this cannot be the park.
Sorry, what were you saying, Greg?
Well, Jason's so nonchalant. He's like, hey, I found the marker. I'm like, yeah, your friends are getting the shit beaten out of them.
He really is like he's on a scavenger hunt. Like, he's just like, okay, here's number 10. And we'll go for number 11 next. Okay, the clue is...
Yep. I'm sorry, I still just love how this thing looks like the fucking trophy from Nickelodeon Guts.
It
like,
really
it
does.
Is the piece of the aggro crag.
It is a styrofoam rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Well, also, it's bright purple. That helps.
So they say, Jason's like, I found it. And Tommy's like, you couldn't find it without my half of the map. Okay, Tommy. Jesus Christ. And that's actually kind of the reaction that Jason gives. He's like, he's like, come on, we got to keep going. I'm just going to walk past you now. We cut to Zordon, and Alpha's like, putting those two together was a bad idea. And yeah, here Zordon says, no, I did this on purpose. Which I kind of actually have to give him credit for, because usually I feel like his, quote unquote plans are that he just makes some shit up at the end of the episode.
Right.
This one seems like a little more forethought.
Well, I like that Zordon's like, yes, I've put these two together on purpose, so they can learn to work together. And Alpha's response is basically, well, okay, I hope the other Rangers don't die in the process.
Yeah, boy, I sure hope that they don't get murdered so you can teach them a lesson. Yeah. So we cut to back to the putty fight for, like, just a second.
Yeah.
And then up to the moon. At which point Rita says, ooh, I'm so bad, continuing on from last week when she said, I love to get nasty. So I'm just really loving Rita's new taunting phrases. I hope she continues along this path.
Yeah. I love that kind of during that little fight between this Rita bit and the previous Jason and Tommy bit, there's a moment where the super putties, like, they have blades on their hands. And they simultaneously line up the four Rangers and then just slash them across the chest in unison.
Yeah, it looks
pretty
cool. And
it's this dumb choreographed thing, but I love it.
Yeah. So, next, Tommy and Jason are hiking up a mountain.
Uh-huh.
And Tommy points and says, everything that, this is gonna be a weird one to describe. Tommy says, look, I think that's what Jason's, or what Zordon sent us to get. And he points and they switch to Sentai footage and it's a pedestal with statues of all the animals, or the dinosaurs on them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And that there's a chest at the top as well.
Enough sense, I guess. And there's a big gold chest up there.
Mm-hmm.
Jason's like, this is too easy. At which point,
A giant robo dinosaur that we have never seen before.
Brachiosaur? I don't know. Somebody who knows dinosaurs more
than
me.
It's like a brontosaurus, yes. Kind of.
Brontosaurus or a brachiosaur. But it's my favorite sword at all.
A giant brontosaurus robot, presumably a zord.
Yeah.
Rolls out from nowhere. And first, I want to point out that its front feet, even though it's on wheels, its front feet just move up and down to give the illusion that it is walking, and that's cute. I like it. It's adorable.
It's like a parade float.
So it just cuts to that for a second, cuts back to Jason and Tommy, and then Tommy goes, hey, and looks over at this thing, at which point it starts hucking fireballs out of its mouth at them. And then
What's great is it cuts between the Sentai fireball, where it's, like, really cool and rotoscoped looking, and then it cuts to the American footage. It's just a tiny little pop out of the ground, like, just pop, little firework goes off.
Then a bunch of styrofoam boulders run down the hill at them, and Tommy pulls a football juke spin move to get around one of them. Let's take a quick break before we talk about what happens next, because it's kind of cool, and I want.
Are you sure?
You don't want to take a break?
Let's just do it.
All right, fine.
Let's talk about what happens.
Alpha
says to the console?
Oh God. we morph and we don't.
Well, what I like is, so Tommy just goes, what's that? And Jason goes, I don't know, but it's morphin' time. And then when we go into the morphing sequence, Jason says Tyrannosaurus the same way he always does. But then when Tommy says Dragonzord, it's a new recording, and he says, he sounds really quiet and not super sure about it. It's like, Tyrannosaurus! Dragonzord?
That really fits Tommy's character way better.
What is my special power again? I forget. So
everyone else is saying, you know, like their actual, like thing, like Tyrannosaurus, Triceratops.
Oh, yes.
Shouting out right. Dragons, or like, I'd be a little confused too. It doesn't seem to fit.
I don't have a thing. Yeah. Mine is made up bullshit.
It's not just dragon, it's Dragon Zord.
Yeah.
But like, so we get them in the Sentai costumes, but it's still the American footage because you can see like the styrofoam on Tommy. And they're posing in unison in this really weird way. Like, they can't get their footing on this hill, so they're just kind of like one leg up dramatically with one arm back. Like, this looks cool, right?
And then they start climbing up the hill, and it just looks so undignified when they're in
the
suit.
That Tommy says, hey, wait for me.
Yeah. It reminds me of, like, if you ever seen a YouTube video of a person in a Darth Vader costume doing something mundane. Like, that's what that looks like to me, of just like, I'm gonna climb up these rocks now. But then they switch to the Sentai footage.
And they both start falling down the hill immediately.
Yeah. They're getting blasted and, you know, rolling down the hill and trying to get up to the prize. And Tommy's like, that dude packs a punch. Are you okay? He almost finished us. Yeah, but we gotta get up there or our friends will be the ones who are finished. And they just keep cutting back to, this robot and showing his big scary mouth. And now they decide to gung-ho, finally.
Uh-huh.
Except the way in which they do that is, I mean, okay, they've been trying.
They essentially decide that the other person should have their powers, basically. Because they're like, Tommy, Jason says, look, I can run up the hill faster than you can, but you're better with a sword. I'm going to give you my sword, and you cover me.
With a sword, which is not typically what you do with a sword. You don't really cover people with melee weapons.
Well, I mean, as we'll see in a second, Tommy can still shoot lasers out of swords, apparently.
Right.
But Tommy says, well, I'm not going to let you go up there without any protection, bow-chicka-bow-wow. I'm going to give you my shield. And so the gold thing from Tommy's shoulders transfers to Jason.
Which is cool.
I sold my shield to buy you sword polish. I sold my sword to buy you a shield.
Oh, no.
Wait, that actually kind of works out okay, because Tommy's still got a shield.
Yeah, gift of the morphing sages, or whatever they call them.
The morphing masters.
Oh, thank you, yes. Greg. So, at this point, Jason starts charging up the hill, and as always happens when, you know, like, they put a spotlight on a power, the shield becomes incredibly powerful all of a sudden.
Right.
And just deflects all of these fireballs, which it never does normally. And then Tommy shows his skill with a sword, which is that he can shoot lasers out of it.
He's good with a sword.
Well, no, he does the thing we saw him do when he was evil, where he crosses the dagger with the other sword to shoot a lightning bolt.
Right, I just love the idea that, like, leveling up your swordsmanship gives you Legend of Zelda sword beam powers.
I love the idea that he can do that with any sword, and that wasn't unique to the Sword of Darkness.
Right, it's just he could just have a sword, and he can shoot green lasers out of it.
If I could do that in my martial art, it would be so awesome.
That seems like that would give you sort of an unfair advantage, Greg. Yeah. I don't think that would be fair.
I mean, Greg, you can at least, like, shoot energy blasts out of your hands, right?
Maybe.
I mean, like, when you push...
I'm not saying yes or no.
I mean, you when you do a quarter circle forward punch, you do, like, a fireball, right?
Yeah. And if I do a quarter circle back with a kick, I do a roundhouse kick while spinning in the air.
And then I get, you do like a helicopter
kick. And then I get sick because the spinning.
That's why I always only have a banana before class.
I want someone to calculate how much lift you'd have to generate and how fast you'd have to spin to generate that much lift with your leg. I want to figure out how fast Ryu's spinning.
Send it into Mythbusters. So, okay.
Oh, no, you can't anymore. We're done.
But I didn't want to talk about that. Now I'm sad.
It's too late now. Now we're getting depressing again.
So anyway, Jason gets up to the top of the hill, and I just really quickly, Mike, I'll let you go, but I want to point out that the Zord then just shoots fireballs at Tommy, even though he's not the one going up to the thing and knocks him down. Like, fuck off, green guy.
Yeah. Well, in fairness, Tommy did say, hey, ugly, take this.
And shoot him
also
with lasers.
Also in fairness, so... you know, spoiler alert, this guy is a friend of Zordon's. As far as he knows, the Green Ranger's evil. We don't know if he's been clued in.
Zordon
on what's
just
going on.
Zordon just forgot to fill him
Zordon's
in.
Zordon's as bad at filling in his buddies as Rita is.
Yeah, really.
Well, you know what? We've already kind of spoiled a little bit. Let's just get it out of the way. Like, this is Titanus.
Titanus.
Yes, this is one. This is one of the Zords, and like this is his introduction. Is he attacks
one third of the
Tommy
Ultra
Jason.
Zord?
Yeah, yeah, he's a big like thing that the Megazord sits in, and like it looks cool, but it never really does too much, as far as I can remember.
No, like it combines with the Megazord or the Dragonzord, and then it just shoots a giant like salvo of lasers, and
that's
everything
true.
Dies.
That's true.
It's got two big giant fucking cannons that come out of the back of it.
That's true, and it looks cool. I like how the
that's not going to happen in this episode, or indeed for a while though.
No. Yeah.
Yeah,
like in fact. Titanus is the only Zord we see in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Joel. Another no Megazord episode.
Oh, it's okay. They'll make up for it.
He's not
next
here
week.
To see it, so it's fine. But so Jason opens the chest and he finds like six toy guns labeled Zoo Ranger in there.
Yeah. There's a close up of the Zoo Ranger name.
I mean, to be fair, a lot of their equipment has Zoo Ranger on it, but they don't normally zoom in on it.
Right.
So you can really tell.
And what I was going to say, speaking of Zoo Ranger, like knowing what I know about what the Green Ranger and Red Ranger are like on that show, this must have been like the most epic episode ever where it's like, they're teaming up and like the evil brother's good and he's gonna like share his power and they're gonna trade weapons.
And he's literally like giving up his life force to do it because his life is energy is tied to the green candle.
This would have been the sickest shit in Zoo Ranger.
And
in
this, it's like, God damn it, can you guys stop being dicks to each other for like 5 seconds?
Right, exactly. Like it's not part of this huge story arc about like redemption and brotherhood and all this shit.
So yeah, these toys are the
They're the toy guns are the key to defeating
you
the
said
super
it right.
Price, apparently.
They're toys.
Yeah. So Titanus just kind of lets them leave, I guess. And they show up at the Super Putty fight where the other four Rangers are still getting their asses kicked. It's like, hey guys, we got a present for you, and throws them these toy guns.
Oh yeah, now, it's a present from Zordon.
Present from Zordon. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing with these toy guns is they each have a thing on the back of them that's like a small ring that you pull, and it's like the plunger on a pinball machine. You pull it all the way back, and then when you let go, then the gun is charged.
It reminds me of like a caulking gun almost.
Yes. Yeah.
And do they name these things? I guess they don't.
No, they don't.
So they shoot the putties with these, and the putties die, and you'll never see those things ever again.
In the Power Rangers canon, they're basically just, we may as well assume they're called Zoo Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think in the original Sentai, these things were supposed to attach to the Blade Blasters, but they don't really
You actually briefly see it, like, right after they blow them up. You can see that they've got their weapons attached to the Blade Blasters. But yeah, these things never show up again in Power Rangers.
Yep.
I don't know why they bothered.
But this is I guess why they never make any monsters out of the Super Putty clays. I guess once they have these guns, they can kill Super Putties in one go.
Yeah.
Like it's just one shot and they just dissolve and that's it.
I wonder if the reason they did it is they wanted to use this as literally just like, man, the Green Ranger gives the Red Ranger his shield and that's cool. Like I wonder if that was the only real reason. But okay, so we cut to, we cut now, because we win, like, that's it.
Yeah,
fight resolved. We cut to the Gym and Juice Bar, and god damn it, like, you remember when you said Double Dragon earlier?
Uh-huh.
If you told me that this was a, like, still from the Double Dragon live-action movie, I would believe you, because...
Yeah.
Tommy and Jason are in matching karate headbands, baggy pants with like tight boots.
Yeah.
And arm wraps, forearm wraps.
And no shirts.
And nothing else.
And no shirts.
The kind of karate pants that goes up to your belly button.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I thought it looked like more like they were rejected Mortal Kombat characters.
Yeah, Jason, like, if you told me this was a picture of Liu Kang, I would maybe believe you with the red headband.
For some reason, Zack's in a tank top.
Yeah, you know, he's...
Well, he tends to be.
Yeah, maybe he needs... In case he has to be, like, the second in a duel.
I think he just sees everyone else showing off their guns and doesn't want to be left out of the show.
I love that at this bit, like, Tommy and Jason do kind of a fist bump thing to show that they're working together now, but Tommy kind of stops it early and leaves Jason hanging for a second there.
Well, he's still awkward and, you know, nervous.
Yep.
Yeah.
So before the actual match begins, they call Jason. It's like, "Congratulations on defeating the Super Putties." And then Jason says, "But do we have to fight Titanus again?" I don't know how Jason knows Titanus's name.
No, he does. He not explain it. Does Zordon?
No, he doesn't.
Oh,
no,
wow.
That's the thing. Yes. Do we have to fight Titanus again? And then Zordon goes, and this is where Zordon explains Titanus is actually a really valuable ally and friend.
And he shows his friendship by throwing fireballs. Zordon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zordon never gives any explanation beyond that. No one questions why Zordon had Titanus attack them.
These are friendship fireballs. It's fine. You ever heard of friendly fire?
There's no reason that Jason should know Titanus's name.
Yeah.
And there's no reason that they should be okay with Zordon going, "No, it's all right, guys. It was a test."
They basically have let Zordon get away with so much horrible shit that at this point, like, they may as well just roll with it. So Trini and Kimberly walk up and say, like, "Are you ready?" And Tommy's like, "Yeah, we finally worked to gung-ho, or learned to gung-ho, right, partner?" And it's adorable. And also because they're both shirtless, kind of homoerotic.
I like that when they go to the ring, Jason jumps over the ropes and then Tommy just kind of climbs through like normal.
Yeah.
He's saving his energy for the fight. So now they put on gloves and we see Bulk and Skull giving their ninjas gloves, and for a second I totally thought Bulk was literally going to do a professional wrestling manager move and put like brass knuckles in there or something.
I would have enjoyed that so much. Speaking of wrestling, this is really weird that this fight is happening in a boxing ring.
Yes.
I mean,
and not like
a
karate mat or something.
Isn't that kind of what they do?
No, it's normally just on a mat.
Yeah, typically for martial
arts. That
way
you can ring out.
Yeah, and also, this is like, how big are boxing rings? This is really small, right?
Yeah, it's very small. Especially I mean, they didn't have much space to build this thing on.
No, and they're pitting four people in here that are supposed to fight. Like,
right, no, I mean the set designers didn't.
Oh, yeah,
totally. Yeah. We're supposed to believe that it's a full-size boxing ring.
Right, fair enough. So we've got a panel of judges, and we're ready to go. And first, it's Jason versus his ninja.
I like the setup because they all get in the ring and they do like hit their hands together and then like nod to each other. And then it cuts to all the judges who nod and write notes on their clipboard.
Yes, good nodding. So they fight for a while. There's not like too much. Like Jason kind of kicks the shit out of him.
It's a fairly even fight in the early going.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason wins clearly with the big kick, but this is a weird thing. So after a certain amount of time, the announcer goes, "Okay, that's it for the first round. Teams switch places with your partners." And then Jason gets ready to keep fighting and Tommy has to grab his shoulder and like, no, I've got this guy.
Jason, Jason's just got the blood frenzy in him. Like, that's all there is to it. He needs to murder at all times. We've already discussed it's the only way that he can feel. So,
so they each get a round against one of the ninjas that's basically just a normal fight. And then we get a round of Jason back in versus his ninja, and they do the American Gladiator bow staff Q-tip things. And then we get a round with Tommy versus his ninja again with the Sheen Eyes.
I will say
and,
that
there's actually kind of a cool thing where Zach like throws Tommy his shinai, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, Jason yeah. David Frank, like just speaking from the perspective of a guy who actually is a martial art that uses a sword, watching Jason David Frank use his shinai was actually really cool because a lot of the technique that he used is actual like real either kendo or some whatever martial art that he used learned that from was actually like really good technique for it, so it's kind of cool to see.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's ever gonna accuse Jason David Frank of not actually knowing what he's doing in that regard.
Yeah, that's actually like we're not going into too much detail on this final fight because like there's not really much to make fun of. Like,
wait, are we playing Final Fight?
Yes, of course. The thing is, like, right. Jason David Frank and Austin St. John and the two guys that they're sparring with, the mystery men, because they're dressed like ninjas yeah. and we don't get names for them, like, they're all doing a really good job. This is actually a really fun fight to watch.
It's a fun,
a fun
fight scene. Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
But anyway, so we get to the final round, and then it's all four people in the ring. And yeah. and this is the part where, like, if they move in sync, they get extra points, question mark?
Yeah. Apparently?
Yeah.
Nothing they do here looks at all like what they were practicing.
No. And also, like, it's literally about a 30-second round, which, like, I mean, it is a bunch of dudes with fake swords in a ring fighting, which is kind of dangerous and also, like, pretty intensive, but it's very quick. They do, like, one or two, like,
I do like the ways that, like, they swap opponents. Like, Jason and Tommy will go hit, switch places, hit, to kind of keep the ninjas on their toes, and that's kind of fun.
Yeah. So, we cut to, or they, you know, they win. Ernie brings the trophy out for them. And we get a little bit more, like, super eager to be friends, Tommy. And he's like, we did it, buddy! And high five! We make a great team! And the look on his face is so, like, hooray! It's adorable.
Yeah.
And then because Bulk hasn't gotten any, like, messy substance on him this episode, he says, Skull, water for our warriors. And, Skull just like grabs a pail of water, which I'm not sure was he just gonna like let
them. That's how you water
ninjas.
You give them a bucket of water to drink from, and then you hang an oat sack off of their face so they can eat.
And then of course Skull trips, Bulk gets wet, and then we get a pretty great freeze frame shot of Jason and Tommy. Shirtless, just laughing hysterically.
Yeah, we don't see the scene where Bulk is like, "Oh my god, this coat is ruined."
Yeah,
and I mean, this is very much like he's being kind of mean to them, but he's just trash talking a little bit about a competition. Like, he's really not being a bully to them this time.
He did hire like mercenaries to beat them at the competition.
I mean, like, that can't really be what happened.
No,
right? Like,
it can't be.
We don't know. We don't know for sure.
I do love the idea of like, I know this is in the 90s, but just Craigslist ad, searching for two ninjas to beat up bullies at school.
No,
and you know that in the ad, Bulk will describe Tommy and Jason as the bullies.
Oh, yeah, like, right? Bulk has to think of Jason as a bully at this point, right?
I mean,
like,
he's not the wrongest.
yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think he's wrong. It's just, yeah, like you said, continually they're not really actually doing anything wrong, and then they get picked on anyway.
I mean, to be fair, occasionally they do really do something wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, they switch that tonal shift is bad sometimes where it's like, oh, now they're like straight up trying to punch Kimberly.
Yeah.
And last episode it was, you know.
Well, but they're never trying to punch Kimberly. They're trying to grab Kimberly.
Right, yeah.
For, I guess to kidnap her and like bring her to the castle so that
Jason has to go through
eight worlds save her?
They punch her in the stomach, throw her over the shoulder, and then Final Fight happens. We've been talking about Final Fight.
Was that Final Fight? I thought that was Double Dragon.
No, that's Final Fight.
Is that Final Fight?
It might be both.
Video games from the early 90s, y'all.
Hey, yeah.
NES beat 'em ups. Not super great about women.
Well, okay.
Final Fight,
definitely not
NES.
In Final Fight, is it Cody? Cody murders the guy who kidnapped his girlfriend at the end, and that's why he goes to jail. And that's
why he's like a jail guy
in Street Fighter. Yeah. So at least it happens.
That guy's deal?
Yes. Yeah. He kills the guy who took his girlfriend, so he goes to jail.
Wait, so how does he end up in Street Fighter if he's in jail?
Because he breaks out.
Because he breaks out. And then just doesn't change.
That's why one of his main outfits is like the horizontal stripes.
Yeah. Are we, like, blowing your fucking mind, Mike? Can you, like, not deal?
I just assumed that was all nonsense, because it's a fighting game.
Well, I mean, it is. Still nonsense.
I mean, I knew that he was a prisoner guy, but I didn't know that he was the guy from Final Fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the guy from Final Fight.
Okay, well then.
There you
and
go.
Then you do a Hadouken, but instead of fireballs, he just throws a fucking rock.
Yeah, he just literally throws rocks from the ground.
Yeah, Cody's great.
Yeah. So,
those are clearly chi rocks. Come on.
There's no bones about it. Those are just rocks.
No, I like the idea that he's focusing his chi to pick up a rock and then throw it.
I say.
All right. So that's been our Street Fighter lore discussion. we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back.
So it's called Trigun because he even though it looks like he only has one gun, he actually has three.
We'll be right back.
Wait, is it one gun with three barrels or three guns?
No, don't engage him on this.
I have to know.
His base gun. How will he ever learn? Is just like a cool looking revolver.
Okay,
not one barrel. Then it turns out like halfway through that his left arm is a cyborg arm that transforms into a gun.
Okay.
And then like in the big like the final arc of the show, you learn that he is a genetically. Like super soldier kind of guy called it's a special species called an angel, and he can fuse with his revolver to form something called the angel arm, which is like this giant like 12-foot long laser cannon that can like level an entire city.
Now I would argue that's three separate guns, not a trigun. That seems misleading.
No. I mean, no one was saying that he has something called a trigun.
It's but that's the name of the show,
right? It's trigun because he has three guns.
Remember when Power Rangers seemed like it was dumb?
Mm. I'll grant you that maybe the show should be called Try Guns.
There you go. Okay, good. Now we've fixed that injustice, let's talk about
Nicholas D. Wolfwood.
Nope, fuck off. Break time.
Break is now.
So Nicholas D. Wolfwood has the Cross Punisher. Originally, it's just a big old crucifix that he stores handguns inside of.
So we have listener questions.
But then he comes back later with the Cross Punisher 2, where every like arm of the cross is a different weapon. Like,
did you say his last name was Wolfwood?
Yeah, Wolfwood.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and he is the heir to the name Chapel the Evergreen, one of the Gung-Ho guns.
Okay, well, at least you got Gung-Ho in there.
Yeah, exactly. Somehow. That's how this came up in the first place.
Tying it back to Power Rangers.
So then, like, the tall part of the cross is a machine gun, and then you can flip it over and use it as a rocket launcher.
That's cool.
Yeah. He beats up Gray the Nine Lives with it pretty good.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. So this episode is pretty enjoyable. The Balkan Skull stuff's great. The fuck, whatever competition that is ridiculous and also fun to watch.
Yeah.
And, the Titanus stuff is insane, but kind of cool.
Sure.
And we get to see the shield change onto a different ranger, which is neat.
It's fun. It is a fun episode.
And also just super confusing. I still don't understand. Like, we've dropped all pretense of like a competition that actual teenagers would take part of.
Yeah. Well, there's also all kinds of little fun things throughout the episode that we wound up kind of glossing over because there's a lot of them. Like, when Bulk kind of summons the ninjas and snaps his fingers, Skull repeats him and then snaps his fingers like even louder, and that makes Bulk just go, "What are you? What?" Stuff like that.
Yeah, and just the fact that he hired ninjas somewhere. Where
do you just get ninjas?
So I have another theory for this.
Okay.
Is that Bulk has been watching Jason's karate class, and he's picked out the two best students, and he said, hey,
oh, man, that's a great idea.
Do you want to beat your teacher? Come train with me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Oh. Yeah, that would be his
that's
best source.
That's why they're wearing the masks, because they don't want Jason to know who they are.
That would be his most ready source of ninjas. Like, that's easy.
And one of them's that guy who got really pissed off when he raised his hand before Billy did, but Jason played favorites
exactly,
way back
yeah.
in episode one.
He's helping them get revenge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, I don't know why I still remember that guy.
So, we've got a couple listener questions this week. If you have questions, you can send them to us on Twitter at teenswithtood. You can, send them to us through email, teenswithtood@gmail.com, or you can join the Facebook group, Teenagers with Attitude, and we'll answer your questions. This week, we have one, that is kind of mostly for Joel, but if other people know, they can help. And it's a follow-up. It's, from Jordan. He has a follow-up to his all of his Godzilla versus Power Rangers type questions, and I just like this one, which is Goldar versus Gigan. And if you don't know, Gigan is a monster what got claw hands.
All right.
And he really kind of just looks like a Power Rangers monster in a way that most of the other ones don't, especially. So I thought, I like the idea of, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, but Gigan is, Joel is like kind of often a second banana.
I mean, the fact that you have to explain who he is, I think,
yeah,
kind of says a lot.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows who Mothra is or King Ghidorah. Nobody knows who
Gigan
is. I didn't
know who King Ghidorah was.
Yeah, I'm gonna question...
Everybody
knows who Mothra is.
Everyone knows who King Ghidorah is. It's
the magical moth that defends the earth. Of course, everyone knows about that.
And also, there's two little girls who sing to it.
Isn't Mothra the one that's the friend to all children?
No, that's Gamera.
Although Mothra's pretty cool with kids too, I think.
Yeah. Just in general, likes.
Well, Mothra's like the defend, like literally, like the defender of like Mother Earth, right?
Yeah, yeah,
something like
Mothra
that.
Mothra is Godzilla Captain Planet.
Yeah, basically.
Although Zach fucking hates her, though.
Well, wait, who do I hate?
No, Power Ranger Zach.
Oh,
he's scared
sorry.
Of moths.
That's true. I forgot. I got confused. Your joke confused
You'd think that
me.
Would happen more often, quite frankly.
It really doesn't that often. There you go.
We need to get our other friend Zach as a guest on this show.
I'm trying. He doesn't really like Power Rangers that much.
Well,
but
all the better reason to get
him
on
the
show.
Who doesn't like Power Rangers?
Yeah,
it
honestly,
has to happen.
That's what I want.
Okay, fair enough.
So, to answer the question, I'm going to have to ask you guys a question.
Okay.
Do you think blade hands count as a sword?
It depends on how long the blade is, I think.
Well,
yeah.
you can look at the picture right here.
Yeah, I sent it in Skype.
I mean, it's possible to have just dagger hands.
I mean, he's basically Scyther. Like, does Scyther count as having sword hands?
I would say no, and I would also say that a sword is better than blade hands because you can manipulate it in your hand and move it in
more ways. I'm not asking for any, like, combat purposes. I'm just saying, if he has, like, if those blade hands count as a giant sword, Goldar's just out. Like, that's a win by default.
He doesn't have sword hands so much as scythe hands.
Yeah. If those blades, like...
I mean, like, this guy's going to be really powerful if he's fighting somebody who's made of wheat.
Yes.
But...
Or hay, or...
Or hay, yeah.
We can name a lot of things you cut with scythes.
Corn.
Human
souls,
if we're getting it.
I'm so happy we made that joke at the same time.
Can I ask a question before you give us your answer? Joel?
Yes.
How does Gigan pee?
Well, he's a cybernetic space monster, so I'm not sure he does.
Okay,
I mean,
that's
cyborgs are not robots.
He's not a necessarily a cyborg. He's cybernetic.
If he's cybernetic, he's a cyborg.
I don't think that's how that works.
I'm pretty
cyborgs,
sure it is.
Cyborgs are cybernetic, but not all cybernetic things are cyborgs.
Explain to me the difference.
Cybernetics are a component of cyborgs. Long enough.
Okay.
No, I like it. I'm going to let it keep going.
Oh, God. You know what? Give me an adjective that means of or relating to cyborgs. That is not cybernetic, then.
So cyborgian.
It's a
cyborgian.
It's a piece or a whole thing situation here. Like, cybernetics is a part of what makes a cyborg, but not all cybernetic things are cyborgs.
I'm saying, like, the DC hero Cyborg could be described as a cybernetic superhero.
He's a person with cybernetic enhancements.
No, yeah, exactly. He's cybernetic.
The word cybernetic has lost all meaning.
When you're describing a living being as cybernetic...
No, it's a living being with cybernetic enhancements. The cybernetic part is separate from the living being. If Gigan is a cybernetic... just a purely cybernetic being, there's no organic component to it. He's not a cyborg.
So he's a robot, yeah, through that eyeball.
If he's not a cyborg, then he's a robot, right?
Basically, yes.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so if he pees through the eyeball...
He wouldn't be a cybernetic. He'd be like a mechanical space creature.
So if he pees through his eyeball, then he doesn't need to unzip his fly. So this answer, or this question is moot.
No, he
now,
just weeps. Piss.
Okay.
Would he have to worry about pink eye?
Well, look at his eye. It's all red.
Clearly, it's deeply infected.
Yeah.
That's probably why he's disturbed by the phrase "he weeps piss."
Why?
I feel like that's a pretty good phrase to describe like half the reactions I see from the competitive video game community.
Oh, jeez! Sick burn out of nowhere, Jesus. So yeah, I would. I mean, Joel, what do you think?
I don't know. He kind of looks like a chump, and I want to say Goldar would win just because Goldar looks cooler.
Goldar,
but
a
as
big
soon
chump.
As real weapons come out, Goldar just abandons the fight. Because he doesn't like to actually lose.
As soon as
he
sees some of those piss tears, he's just out. He's not dealing with that shit.
So I don't think
less out
I don't
of
think...
fear and more just you know what? I'm not gonna get peed on today.
Right?
That's
exactly.
Not...
Yeah. I don't think Gigan would defeat Goldar in an actual battle, but I think he would win by default.
Goldar just leaves, abandons the battlefield.
Yep.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's like I'll put up with a lot of things for the sake of my Empress, but getting peed on. That's crossing a line. I'm done. Yeah. I'm out.
He doesn't get paid extra for handling hazardous materials.
No. Yeah. He gets no hazard pay.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Jamie from the Facebook group asks, I've always loved the bad guy's words, like Goldar's Cyclopsis, which we haven't seen yet, but Goldar has a Zord later on, and Zed's Serpentera, same thing. Haven't seen that yet. But if the other moon crew members had Zords, what do you think they would be?
Well, Goldar's would just be a giant Goldar.
Well, Goldar has one, and it just looks like a Gundam.
Yeah.
Which is cool, but yeah. Well,
clearly, Finster would drive a giant putty. That's just how that works.
Yeah.
He would put a putty into like that enlarging machine from Ratchet and Clank. And it would get all huge, and he'd ride around on its back.
Well, no. He would just sculpt a life-size putty and then put it through the Monstermatic.
Would he ride in it, though? Would he, like, make a little cavity in
well,
its
yeah,
head?
Well, yeah. I'm just saying Maybe that, like, if the like idea is that the action figure size turns into a, like, life-size, then he just puts a life-size thing in there to begin with, he gets a Zord.
Okay. I think Squat and Babu's Zords would basically be the shitty racist robots from Transformers.
No,
2.
No. Squat and Babu drive a single Zord like a Jaeger.
Oh, wait, is it a two part Halloween horse costume, but a Zord?
I figured it would be like they would be two robots, but they would combine in a really dumb way, like Gurren Lagann.
No, I like the idea that it is two humanoid robots in a giant horse costume.
Okay. All right, yeah, that's got to take it. That's my favorite. So, okay, the final question, and clearly the most important, and basically why I wanted to read this one. What is Rita's Zord?
It's her. Oh, it's literally her.
I was gonna say like a giant.
She's too egotistical to ride anything other than a giant robot Rita.
But her giant robot version can combine with a giant like robot bicycle and ride it like Titanus.
Yeah, I think the entire moon transforms to reveal that it's a Zord that the castle is the head of.
Oh, nice. So it's like the
Mega Maid.
Mega Maid, yeah. Spaceballs.
Yeah. Perfect. That's perfect.
Okay. Yeah, that works. So it's the moon and it turns into a big robot Rita. That's fantastic. Yeah. I will take this. All right. So last one, from Konamal. Okay. So we are not a video games podcast, but we pretty much all play games.
Also,
so
we have said we can be asked about anything.
That's true. But I figured he basically wants to know what are some of or our favorite games of the year, and I figured we would just kind of go around.
Oh, did we not do this already?
Huh?
Did we not do this already?
No, we didn't. And
we had our excellent.
He sent us the question
shows,
like
the teenies
like,
and the tooties.
Yeah, he sent us this question like 2 months ago, but we deliberately held off of it until after the year was over.
Yeah,
he just wanted to know what everyone's game of the year was. Basically.
Yeah, I was worried it would take a lot of time, and also we had to do our very important awards. So
that I thought
of as we were recording.
I do
basically.
Remember in a side note in his question, because he sent it to me. He said he was pretty sure what Luke's was going to be, and then when I told Luke that, Luke's like, you know what, he's wrong. So
that's true. He is wrong.
So, Luke, do you want to go first?
Yeah, should I go first? Because I'm going to steal Mike's. It's Undertale.
There you go.
It's a good video game, and it doesn't take very long to play, and it doesn't cost that much money. Go play it. Jump.
Everyone was pretty much assuming Luke's was going to be Metal Gear Solid 5, I assume.
And even I was assuming that, and then I played Metal Gear Solid 5. It's still like, I like it a lot, but the fact that it's not my favorite game ever is a serious flaw against it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not really stealing it because it's not like we can't have more than one person have the same game of the year, and mine is also Undertale.
No, you got to say it different.
No, now you have to. Now you have to pick your second.
I don't play. I don't have very many others. I don't play a lot of games.
Tough shit. Pick a different game. Well,
Mike, then it's Smite by default, right?
I guess. I mean, Smite came out last year. I mean, I guess it came out for the Xbox One this year, but I don't have an Xbox One.
Oh,
but like,
screw it.
The thing is, though, I know that's kind of the game of the year for most of us here. Like Simon and Matt aren't here, but I'm pretty sure both of them would have picked Undertale as well.
I know Simon.
Would have to pick one of the games for the video game company he works at.
Actually, I'll speak for Simon real quick. I know that he was super in love with Soma. I don't know if it was his game of the year, but he was definitely way high on
that
game.
Does seem really cool. I haven't played it, but everything I've seen about it seems awesome.
Yeah.
Joel?
Well, if we're going by amount of time actually spent playing, it would either be Pokemon Ruby, or Alpha Ruby,
Omega Ruby.
Whatever. Omega Ruby. Or, Free Cell. Because I play a lot of Free Cell.
Nice.
But if we're going with actual games that were released this year, I want to give it to Fallout 4, because, I mean, even though I've played, 150 hours of it, I think it's got a lot of flaws.
Jesus, you've played 150 hours?
I mean, whatever, what's your favorite game that came out this year? Like, it doesn't have to be
I don't even remember what games came out this year is the problem. I think I'd have to give it to Mario Maker.
Number one, Battlefield Hardline.
Mario Maker is a solid choice.
I spent almost no time in the actual creation tools other than just screwing around with it.
Yeah,
I've made two
levels in that game, but I've played 60 or 70 hours of it.
Yeah, I've played a ton, and I'm just so happy that one, it exists, two, it's actually good, and three, people have taken to it the way they have.
That was a game they could have screwed up really easily. And
it's
there
a
are
game
problems.
That when it was. It's a game that when it was first announced, I was just like, wait, what? Seriously? This is your big announcement? I didn't get it.
And there are definitely some problems with, level sharing and things that other people have enunciated better than us, but it's still a great game.
Yeah. But they're fixing those things slowly. They've had updates. There's a website you can browse levels for and bookmark, and they'll show up then in the game for you. And they're adding new like elements for courses and
Speaking of games that gradually get built over time and the Wii U, the game I did not play but most wanted to play from this year was Splatoon.
Splatoon's fucking rad.
That is the thing that makes me really wish I had a Wii U is Splatoon.
Luke, I'm buying that on Friday and we'll play it.
I just played Splatoon it a little bit this morning and they added a new stage today.
Nice.
Yeah, Splatoon for me is one of those games that I think is an amazing game and is entirely not for me.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Undertale. I think Undertale's super well made, and I just don't like it very much.
That's fine. You're a fucking idiot.
I mean, no, that's. I'm sorry. I have to do the fandom thing. I have to call you a terrible human being for not liking Undertale. How dare you?
Luke did that already.
Yeah, I beat you to that, just like I beat you to Undertale.
I guess. Wait.
Yeah, that's right. I'm taking credit for that, even though you played it first.
But yeah, Splatoon is also really cool. Now, Greg, now that Mike got two, do you have one?
I like Rocket League.
Rocket League.
Rocket League's real fucking good.
Yeah,
Rocket League's really fun.
It's real good. Like if you have like listener, like if you have not ignore everything else we've said. If you have not played Rocket League, you need to.
Well,
Rocket League
is cool because it is like literally a pick up and play game. Like it takes you 30 seconds to understand how to play Rocket
League. And in spite of that, it has an incredible amount of depth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that is the game that puts the lie to all of these awful MOBA fans and makers that think that like they have to put complicated controls and execution things because they have to have a high skill ceiling. You can actually just like make a game that's good and it'll actually have a high skill ceiling, assholes. Yeah. Yeah. Why am I so angry tonight?
I don't know.
I think it's just who you are.
You came straight from work.
I'm not even angry. I'm just surly.
Did you eat anything? Or are you just grumpy?
I ate a sirloin steak.
Oh, do you need a Snickers?
Wow. Yeah. Jesus. That was bad.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to cut that. It's so terrible.
No, leave that in. You have to leave that in. That is the kind of joke that we tell on this podcast.
Man, I'm pretty sure that as soon as like the editor of a podcast says they're going to cut something, they're obligated to leave it in.
Right.
I just forget. It happens pretty much every time. I guess I'll do one. Mine, I don't know that I would call this like my absolute game of the year, but it's the one I keep fucking thinking about, which is Life is Strange. Mm-hmm. If you have any interest in like narrative driven games, but like about high schooler problems, basically. Yeah. Well, at least it starts that way. Right. That game's pretty much great, and there's not that many like it, other than like a lot of Japanese visual novels, I guess.
Yeah. I really love
it's similar. It's similar to the Telltale style of games, but somewhat unique from them too. So for anyone who, you know, kind of likes Telltale stuff, but is kind of getting tired of them, because that's me. I thought it was a really refreshing, like, new take on it.
And I've said it a lot of different places. I don't think it sticks the landing, but even then, it's the game I thought about most this year.
Yeah. So, basically, if you like video games, time travel, and lesbians, this is your year.
Yeah. Well,
my issue is that it's just, I like the ideas in that game a lot, but the actual like dialogue writing and the voice acting is so clunky.
Yeah, that's kind of why I said at the beginning I'm not sure it's my like quote unquote game of the year.
Yeah,
it's got some problems, some rust on it.
Yeah, some flaws.
But I just like I love what it does. And
check
the
perimeter, as my step ass would say.
Well, like, that's the thing, though. Chloe's awful. Like,
doesn't matter. I knew awful teens. I knew teens that hated their stepdads.
Yeah, I mean, she is a character who's a punk, like a punk lady who is...
would she hang out with Bulk and Skull?
Maybe. but I mean, she's desperately trying to impress this other girl. So there's a lot of like, I'm going to talk like no people actually ever talk. But I don't know if that's on purpose. Like, you're right. The dialogue's super cool.
I think it's a game.
We're going on too long.
I want a Telltale style game. about the adventures of Bulk and Skull.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
That would be perfect.
No, I was just going to say, I think most of the blame with that lies in the fact that it is a game in English written by French people.
Fair enough. Yeah, so to close that out, please Telltale make a Bulk and Skull get-rich-quick scheme video game where they just try to make a bunch of money.
Yeah, if you want to get really meta with it, their get-rich-quick scheme involves making a video game.
Oh, and then you just start playing through it at the end, and it's a never-ending cycle, and you die in front of your computer.
They're making a Power Rangers video game.
I like the idea of them making a video game about their get-rich-quick scheme to make a video game. And so you keep iterating through it, but each version gets shittier and shittier.
Yeah, I would actually also play their version of the Power Rangers, because
I
want
to... Just imagine you're playing, like, you have to, like, do research on the Power Rangers, and all the time these dumb buttheads at school keep, like, throwing you into cakes... And you're just trying to figure out how to make your video game, and if these guys would get out of the way, you could learn about the Power Rangers.
That's perfect. That is absolutely perfect.
Ooh. Set it in the time context of the show, so the video game they're trying to make is like an early Super Nintendo beat 'em up, like the actual Mighty Morphin Power Rangers games.
Yeah, there totally, totally.
Yes, absolutely, 100%.
All right. So
that's our game of the year. That is the official Teenagers with Attitude game of the year. This bullshit fantasy Telltale
game
about Bulk and Skull.
We made up in our heads about Bulk and Skull.
Yeah.
Which really, in retrospect, seems like the obvious answer that we all should have seen coming.
Oh well. So, for Teenagers with actually, hold on real quick before I roll over myself. Join us next week, and we should be back onto a regular schedule, so apologies for that again.
What else do you have to say?
Yeah, I was actually about to say, before Luke gets mad at you, rate us on iTunes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, rate us on iTunes, please. Leave us a review. That'd be awesome. And if you have a Twitter, like, you can tweet a link to our sampler, which is Teenagers with Attitude Sampler on YouTube.
Yeah.
And just show your friends us, and
tell
that'd
your
be great.
Fucking friends about us.
And don't make the mistake that I made and have your wife's account signed in when you rate things.
Oh man, yeah, that'd be good. That's like how I accidentally started watching Power Rangers on my girlfriend's Netflix account, and it fucked her recommendations right up.
Oh man.
Because she just normally watches horror movies. So now it's like, I don't know what to do with you,
my
person
Netflix...
who only watches Power Rangers and horror movies.
Yeah, my Netflix recommendations have been so messed up for so long that I'm kind of baffled by the idea of anybody, like, considering that useful information.
Well, Zach, hopefully the new Godzilla movie they're working on will come to Netflix eventually and bridge that gap. Next.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh, okay, here's what you want. This is all you
need.
It's
like, you like Pulp Fiction and the Powerpuff Girls. We don't know what the fuck to suggest to you.
Things that start with the letter P, I guess.
Yeah. All right, guys. So that's going to do it for us for this week. For Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
Is it me? I've been Luke.
I've been Joel.
Have I been Mike? I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure I've been Greg.
May the power protect you always.
Get out of here!
Go, ninja! Go, ninja! Go!
Oh, fuck off.
Go rent a ninja.
Yeah, congratulations, fellas!
You guys are awesome!
Nice teamwork, guys! Way to go, go!
Congratulations, you guys.
Yes, we did it, partner! Yeah, we make a great team!
Skull, water for our warriors?
Water?